delighted to be here today, joined by Killian McGivern from Upper Springfield and White Rock Integrated Partnership. We're going to have a little chat about some work that Killian has been engaged in over lockdown and projects that he's been driving forward in part three funding that's also being made available through the Community Foundation as part of the leadership program that you're involved in. So Killian, we're delighted to have you here today and joining us and telling us a little bit more about your stories. Thanks. For those that don't know, I'm Dawn Shackles. I'm the Director of Peacebuilding and Communities within the Community Foundation for Northern Ireland. And part of my role is not just looking at the issues that we have that are dividing us, in addition to dealing with the legacy of the past, but also looking forward and how do we build stronger, better communities? How do we, in this kind of post-COVID recovery phase, not just build back better, because we need more than that, but we need to build back fairer. And so, Killian, it's great that you've been able to join us to also talk to us about the story that you've been doing as part of our communities in COVID from response to recovery. So would you tell us a little bit just about yourself and about your organisation?
Yeah, so my name's Killian McGivern. I'm a community development worker in the Upper Springfield White Rock Integrated Partnership. So we're based in the Upper Springfield Development Trust in West Belfast. The partnership is essentially a collection of about 20 community organisations that are all based in the Upper Springfield area, and those organisations are really carried a broad range of work, from supporting older people to youth organisations, childcare organisations, your Sure Starts and stuff like that. We support residents with housing needs, be challenge issues or community safety, health inequalities, all those things. So it's a very broad umbrella of issues that the Integrated Partnership as a collective kind of works on.
That sounds like, though, with those issues that you would have been extremely busy over the last kind of 15 months through the various phases of COVID and the kind of the lockdown. So what have been some of the challenges that you've faced, your organisation's faced?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's plenty of challenges, but also been plenty of positive stuff to come out of the past 15 months, I suppose, or year. The challenges, obviously, I think the challenges that we face for organisations, or challenges that every organisation faced, you know, we're at the, it's a very scary thing for everyone. And at organisations, it would have been very easy to kind of step into the shadows and just sit in the house and watch as the world kind of passes by. But it wasn't a challenge for us to motivate people to come out and play their part and help in the community. Our organisations that we work with and the residents that we work with were really more than happy to come out and volunteer all their time and their effort, especially with so many people that are being put on furlough and stuff. There's people with so much extra time, I suppose, on their hands that we were inundated with people that were willing to come out and help support the older people that live in the area, the vulnerable people that maybe were health or immune compromised or had health issues beforehand, people that were forced to isolate. Well, not forced to isolate, but had to isolate.
Yeah.
Which obviously meant that people weren't getting their shopping in, they weren't getting their food, heating, electric, toiletries, all those kind of things. So, I mean, yes, of course, there were a number of challenges. Challenges I think everyone faced personally as an organisation. There were challenges as well, of course. Our building was closed for health and safety reasons, of course. So there was the whole challenge of adapting to a new way of working, online, Zoom, and how difficult that could be for people. So yes, number of challenges, nothing overly unique to us. I think what was unique to us was the opportunities that really came from it, or the response from the community in which we live was probably unique to the Upper Springfield.
That's great. I mean, it certainly sounds that you were the lifeline for many who were, as you say, who were in isolation, who were immune suppressants, and kind of weren't able to get out. So without that help and support, you know, there would have been a lot more people, many more people in the community struggling. So in terms of the other project that you were involved in, then can you tell us a little bit about the project that you particularly took forward in terms of the leadership and action under our leadership program?
So coming out of, I suppose, the first lockdown, when we started kind of engaging with statutory organisations again, following on from probably like a 4 or 5 month hiatus, I think that the stat world kind of went on. The PS and I were able to give us a report, and it was just a breakdown of, you know, reported instances to the PS and I from throughout West Belfast, and we found it in the first quarter of 2020, which was the start of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
There had been a 160% increase in reported instances of domestic violence.
Wow.
In comparison with the previous year.
That's huge.
Massive. And it's particularly significant whenever you take into consideration the historical issues in Ballymurphy and the Upper Springfield with a distrust of the PSNI.
Yeah.
Underreporting is a problem in our community to the police. Underreporting is a problem when dealing with domestic violence. So there's two reasons why you would expect this issue not to be reported, and you have a 160% increase spike in reported instances of domestic violence. That's, to me, it was a massive alarm bells ringing, you know.
Yeah.
As to what was going on. And again, it's hard, I suppose the challenge through the COVID pandemic was engaging with people. People were reclusive, people were locked in their, and of course everyone was locked in their houses, quarantine, isolated, all the rest of it. So you couldn't speak to people. You couldn't see the visible marks on people that had been. So trying to find that information out, you would have never really found it because there was no engagement with people. So yeah. Hadn't it been for those stats to be brought forward from the police,
it would have been even more hidden.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. So.
And when you think about that stat of 160%, which is terrifying, at the same time, we know that that's probably only the tip of the iceberg too, because as you said, there's historic underreporting in this type of area as well. So you know that's not even the true picture of it, which makes it even more worrying. So tell us a bit about your project, and then when you find that out, what you were doing.
So the project was really an awareness raising campaign of the discreet ways in which victims of domestic violence can report. Now again, like I said, there is an issue in the area with underreporting to PSNI. I think there's whenever you report an instance of domestic violence to the PSNI, it's a very permanent, so you can't report it and then backtrack and make it all go away.
Mm-hmm.
The damage is almost, if you're concerned about the status of your relationship, it's almost irreversible then. And that would be what we found, we have been putting a lot of people off going to the PSNI.
Because they weren't ready for that next step,
it cements the issue.
Yeah.
So it was about finding, it's about advertising or broadcasting ways that people, victims of domestic violence or people in those situations, can have support in a way that maybe wouldn't trigger feelings of cementing the issue or making the issue worse.
Yeah.
So, and that was, what we done was then we contacted Belfast Women's Aid. We had obviously contacted the police. We had been in contact with the Belfast City Council, because Belfast City Council, as timely as it was, had also decided that they would launch an initiative around the same issue. So it was big. Coordinating those projects to make sure that, you know, I think there was a concern from the council that we would almost saturate the market of you know, broadcasting support services for domestic violence. I don't think that could ever have been the case.
Yeah.
So our initiative was really to localise the issue. It was ways of advertising, of offering support for men, women and children that are in the scenario of domestic violence within the household. What support mechanisms are there for them, how those can be discreet. So Belfast Women's Aid had launched a web chat service at the same time, which meant that you could just text through, so there was no conversations to be heard out loud or anything like that.
That was great that kind of coordination was happening, and the timing then just worked in well too.
Yeah, perfectly. It worked out perfectly. It was a big priority for us too. It was also about localising the issue too. I think it was about letting people know in the Upper Springfield that maybe if you are suffering, that you're really not, like, you're far from alone.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the message that I was kind of intent on getting out there. It was like, this is happening. This could be happening to you, but it's happening in your street. It's happening in your neighbourhood. It's happening in this community. So you aren't on your own. You aren't isolated. And this is the ways that you can the ways that you can be supported. It's also about whenever you offer support through the likes of Women's Aid or through the Falls Women's Centre, all these places, they're almost like a very victims based approach the rag fan an issue. Whenever you report it to PSNI, it's like, here's the law.
Yeah, it's more criminal.
And it's not really what you want. It's about adhering to the rules of the law. And here's, they have breached the rule in this way. Well, this is the consequence.
And this is the impact of that.
So it's a criminogenic approach to dealing with domestic violence. Domestic violence is a bit too complicated.
Yes, just to take a narrow focus at times as well. Yeah. Although there's obviously a place for all of that within dealing with the issue.
Of course, but it's just too broad a kind of an issue. So we felt that it was appropriate to just really labour those two messages. You're not on your own. And there's support out there, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have to go to court, or you're going to have to give statements to the police, which is all true. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of trauma when you're talking about domestic violence.
Yeah, there's high emotions and pain and hurt and
big thing.
Yeah. And so thinking now, as we kind of, you know, sort of, we hope with the vaccine that brighter days are on the horizon, you know, we've seen the restrictions start to lift. How can you see this campaign and the issue of domestic abuse within the home? How would you plan to kind of take that forward still?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to go away.
Yeah.
And I think it's always been there. It's just the through the COVID pandemic, almost by pure fluke, we've been able to kind of identify it in a way that we never really had before. So, spreading of the information is obviously going to continue. Supporting individuals as they reach out to people like Women's Aid, which is a big problem we found too, was that whenever we were engaging with maybe victims of domestic violence, there was almost a shyness about it, about them as reaching out to Women's Aid or these other organizations that were their support. So it's about continuing the role of you know, being a point of contact for people and putting them in the right direction and encouraging them into the right direction of obviously reporting and using the services that are available to them. So I think the campaign will probably stay much the same. I don't think their easing of COVID restrictions really changes the dynamic of what what we're doing. I think the issue will still be there.
Absolutely.
And the support services will be just as important.
In fact, in some ways, with restrictions easing, it might become hidden again. That's why, as you say, it's just even more important to continue promoting those messages.
Yeah, visibility is just important.
Yeah. Very important. Well, listen, I appreciate you joining us today, and also just to say thanks for sharing your story, but for taking, you know, your leadership and taking this forward and for identifying the issue and trying to help support other people who are in situations that most of us can't even dream of what that would be like. And so I think the support that is out there and that people know that they can access is fantastic. So thank you for doing that, and I wish you well on your leadership journey, and we look forward to hearing more about you and indeed more about the project. Thank you.
Thank you.